As COVID vaccination rates rise and infection rates decline in the region, favorite annual events are beginning to announce a return, including the Plaza Classic Film Festival. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The Plaza Classic Film Festival has announced its 2021 dates, and more importantly, the return to in-theater audiences at the historic Plaza Theater in downtown El Paso. Doug Pullen is program director at the El Paso Community Foundation and director of the Plaza Classic Film Festival. Doug, it's good to see you again after a very long year.
Yeah, you too.
Via Zoom.
Yeah, I know. It's been mostly texting and emails, right?
Yeah, but it occurs to me, I think about a year ago that we discussed a very different 2020 Plaza Classic Film Festival, yeah, where you went to entirely drive-in screenings and some virtual offerings, as many festivals had to adapt to the pandemic. You had some time, at least a few months going into the pandemic, to think through and see what other festivals were doing. Was that, looking back a year, I've got to imagine logistically that was probably more difficult than running the main festival at the Plaza Theater?
Yes, it was. Because, so what we did, I think I might have told you this last year, but when we, you know, got definitive word that the theater wasn't going to be available, we then switched gears. So we had been working on iterations going in, you know, knowing that this was probably going to happen, but holding out hope, one of which was to go virtual, which is what a lot of film festivals were doing in March and April. And we soon learned, kind of suspected, but got confirmed that the licensing of classic movies for streaming was almost impossible, right? So, and I kept pleading, but, you know, it didn't work.
Yeah, not something a classic film festival could adapt to.
No, you'd have
most
to go
of those
totally
films
indie.
Are already available streaming.
Yeah, right? Totally indie, totally obscure.
So drive-ins all over town was the solution.
That was the solution. We did drive-ins that way. We could get the movies that way. You had to go through a third party a lot of times, which was more expensive. And because those third parties were so inundated, it was stressful because it took so long to confirm the movies, which usually doesn't take as long. And there, you know, all the other factors. But when it came, you know, settled out, I mean, it did really well. The drive-ins did really well. Digital, not so much, but we had, I think it was close to 1500 vehicles, you know, 1500 paid admissions. And, you know, the size of those parking lots and the number of people varied. I mean, I estimated about, you know, three a car,
right?
3 point something or other a car.
So there's a multiplier by car.
Yeah. I didn't have a scientific multiplier. There were four people in that car. But, and we did different size parking lots. We started at Artavino's Desert Crossing, where we restricted it to 50 cars because of the way we parked. And we sold 48 tickets to Yellow Submarine, which, by the way, we had an uninvited guest, the Border Patrol, hovering for a good 5 minutes over the movie.
Of course. Of course. It wouldn't be the border without that, right?
The I figured they're sitting in their helicopter going, hey, is that a movie down there?
So you've made it to your 14th year this year, though. And at what point did you make the decision that, you know, things have changed enough that you're going back to in-person?
I would say in April. So at the beginning of January, I started having conversations with health experts and with venue management on a regular basis. It did not look good in January, as you know. It did not look all that good in February. So we were planning drive-ins and digital again. I had a schedule worked out. We had talked to locations, and I was interviewing digital streamers to see if we could, you know, A, have a better experience for the viewer, and B, you know, have more time to promote it. So that's where we were at when the subject, the conversation with El Paso Live, the venue management, came up that, hey, you might be able to move back in. So that was probably late March, early April. And we went through discussions over the next few weeks. And it's like, I think we can do this if I can convince, you know, our president that we can do this safely. And I had questions. What have you done about the air filtration system in there? Well, they haven't improved it.
Let's talk about that because that's probably, it's great news that audiences will be able to return to the Plaza Theater. to watch films on that giant screen. And the dates are July 29 to August 8th. So the classic early August dates still hold. But I gather for those who have been to the Plaza Classic before in its heyday, it will not completely be the same. You mentioned new air filtration devices in the theaters, but what other protocols are you contemplating for this year's festival?
We're going to do capacity limits. They have evolved. We'll probably limit it to about 50% capacity. Mm-hmm. Pod seating, twos and fours, possibly sixes. In other words, you just like, you know, look, most of the commercial movie theaters in town have been open since last summer, right? So kind of following a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Separating everybody.
Yep, exactly. You know, the Plaza is a 2,050 seat venue. It'll be roughly a 1,000 seat venue for this.
Still the biggest venue in town to watch a movie. Even when you half it.
There will be mask wearing. There will be no food and beverage, meaning, you know, the bar is usually open. They sell water. That won't be open. And what am I leaving out? Disinfecting. So they disinfect after each movie. It's a 2-hour process. That means one movie per day will be eliminated, which is driving me nuts. But so instead of two matinees per venue and one evening on a, say, a weekday, it's one matinee, one evening.
Is that one of the reasons why I noticed you've added a very grand venue, the Abraham Chavez Theater, so you can leapfrog between the two?
Yeah, it actually, the reason that came up is that with the initial limits we were working under were even fewer than 50%, even smaller than 50%. It was about 25 to 30%. So the Philanthropy Theater, which seats 200, was going to be around 20 or 30 people.
Of course.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, why bother, right? But in the course of discussing all that, the Chavez was mentioned as a possibility. The Chavez, however, is not a movie theater. It wasn't built as a movie theater, and nor does it have the gear in it for that. So we will be bringing that in. And with some of the distributors, they will recognize, they'll kind of grandfather you in under the Plaza for licensing purposes.
Right, right.
Others will not. So when you go through the third party, it's more expensive. And that's what we're doing now. So we, you know, if you know anything about the Chavez, it's bigger than the Plaza. It's 2,500 seats. And we'll probably have about the same capacity in there, about 1,000.
Well, I'm looking
so I think
forward
we can go a little broader. Yeah, we'll be a little broader. And we will kind of stagger. So if you have a 1 o'clock at the Plaza, we'll probably have a two-ish somewhere in there. I can't decide.
So programming-wise, though, if you're losing one screening a day, maybe two, you're probably looking, I think you're typically running between 85 and 90 titles over 11 days and what, maybe looking at 60 or so now?
Probably about 60, somewhere in that neighborhood. I mean, I have a working schedule now. I think the total is at 56, but that's not a final schedule. I'm still moving stuff around and it's driving me nuts.
And can audiences still expect the general range of classic films and contemporary films or newer classics as what have been found at past festivals?
Yeah, I think so. It's still kind of going through an iteration. So, you know, there's still titles where I'm debating and one's a little newer and one's a little older, but what plays better here? So, yeah. And one thing I do, it's kind of stupid, but usually when I work up an early version of the schedule, it's never, I know it's not the final, you know, it doesn't feel like it's the final for one thing. And I go through and I break it down by decade. And I say, there's way too much 70s stuff in here, or there's, you know what I mean? Or there's not enough. And I go to that list of all those ideas and, well, why didn't I put such and such on there? And you start playing with it. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but that's kind of what I'm doing right now.
I know that the 70s still feel pretty relevant to me, but it's hard to imagine that it's been 50 years since 1971. So the term classic, I mean, I used to get this asked all the time is what is a classic or, and how do you, where is the cutoff and how do you think about that as you work on this programming? I mean, what's your personal guide for yourself?
A lot of it for me has to do with how that movie withstands the test of time. And I think back to when the year you programmed Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I think it was your first 80s movie in a primetime slot. Mm-hmm. And I was at the newspaper then.
Right.
And I asked you, you know, like, is that a classic? You know, like, does that qualify? And you had, I don't remember word for word, but you had a really good explanation for that. And I think it tied in with the fact that, A, it was rooted in all these classic serials.
Right.
But it also, you know, was a movie that was going to withstand the test of time, as it has.
And of course, you know, it was already probably 35 years or old by then.
Yeah. And it's 40 years old this year.
We don't want to acknowledge our own advancing age, but you know, the films that we still think of as being a part of our lives are now considered classics. You have anything you want to suggest that might be coming, or focuses that you're working on for this year's festival?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, we're going to find ways to address the pandemic. Hmm. But one of the things I don't want to do is layer on lots and lots of heavy, depressing, you know, I kind of want to go lighter. I mean, that's what I'm doing. Uh-huh. Lighter, more escapist.
There you go.
I think some of the titles will, in their own way, reflect back on the pandemic. The Big Sleep, for example, even though it's not about a pandemic. And others will contain elements that would remind us of what going through a pandemic has been like Rear Window being confined to your apartment.
Right.
Not because he's sick, but he's got a broken leg, right? So there will be that. And we've got, you know, some documentaries and things like that. But I think the idea there is, let's have fun. We're emerging out of this thing. We're not out of it yet, but, you know, we are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Let's celebrate instead of, you know, get depressed.
And this really is one of the signs that we are coming out the other side, as these major events are coming back into our calendars. Very quickly, are passes already on sale for this year's festival?
Yes, they are. Yeah, at plazaclassic.com. You know, we're working out the details on the guests, so I don't want to say anything till I've got it in writing.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Doug, for talking to me, and all the best in the final few months of planning for this year's Plaza Classic Film Festival.
Thank you, sir.
I've been discussing the planning for this year's 14th annual Plaza Classic Film Festival with Program Director Doug Pullen. The Plaza Classic will return to in-person screenings at the historic Plaza Theater and the Abraham Chavez Theater in downtown El Paso from July 29 to August 8th, and festival passes are already on sale. For information about the festival and to purchase passes, log on to plazaclassic.com. A final program note, the Film Salon has returned to screening classic films with a new series dedicated to movies made using the famed Technicolor film process. The Film Salon will present the 1938 action film The Adventures of Robin Hood next Saturday, June 5th at 6 p.m. at Alamo Drafthouse on the West Side. For a calendar of upcoming events and to subscribe to the Film Salon's email list, log on to filmsalon.org. An archive of past programs is available online at ktep.org. Thanks to the KTEP staff for editing today's program. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.